Hello,
and welcome to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. At Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, we would like to offer you information to improve your health by considering various lifestyle options. Our articles come from different sources, which we will always identify. The information presented is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to replace the advice of your medical doctor or other healthcare professional with whom you consult. Here are some articles on whole food plant-based nutrition. And the first one comes from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies and is entitled, American Medical Association Names Plant-Based Diet Part of Breast Cancer Prevention Strategy, by Nelson Huber Disla, September 22, 2025. This summer, the House of Delegates, or HOD, of the American Medical Association, AMA, convened its annual meeting in Chicago. The HOD, which comprises 733 delegates, is the policy-making body of the AMA. As such, they have the potential to influence medical practice and reimbursement nationwide. Their annual meetings cover many topics, including this year, resolutions related to sleep deprivation, hate speech, microplastics, and the future of Medicaid. Perhaps the most interesting resolution, however, at least from our perspective, was Resolution 434 on breast cancer. In this article, we take a closer look at what the resolution states, its significance, and whether it might have positive impact in the long term. Breast cancer risk reduction. Here's the exact language from the final report of the reference committee. Resolved that our American Medical Association supports effort to educate the public about the benefits of lifestyle changes that may reduce breast cancer risk, including regular physical activity, maintenance of a healthy body weight, a healthy plant-based diet, and limiting alcohol intake. Our AMA encourages physicians to regularly discuss with their individual patients the benefits of lifestyle changes that may reduce cancer risk. What immediately stands out is the explicit mention of a healthy plant-based diet. If the resolution had included vaguer language, along the lines of a nutritious or a well-planned, balanced diet, few people would have given it a second thought. Such choices have been closer to the norm in the past, but that is gradually changing. And it's not changing only in the AMA. Numerous high-visibility public health institutions domestically and internationally have shifted toward a more explicit inclusion of plant-based diets. A 2016 position paper from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics reinforced that vegetarian and vegan diets are not only appropriate for all stages of life, but also beneficial for numerous health and environmental reasons. The 2023 Food is Medicine Presidential Advisory from the American Heart Association emphasizes the importance of eating more plant-based foods and less meats, echoing a larger trend in the association toward more consistent messages about the health benefits of plant-based or plant-forward diets. Many of the largest and most influential medical centers and their affiliated bodies, such as the Cleveland Clinic and the Harvard Health Publishing, regularly promote resources on plant-predominant or exclusively plant-based diets, including favorable highlights from the latest research. The World Health Organization emphasizes the preferability of largely plant-based diets for both human and environmental health. And the British National Health Service, the Dietitians of Canada, and similar organizations from around the world have reiterated that the appropriateness of healthy plant-based diets at all stages of life. While these public health authorities do not always endorse plant-based diets as fully as we might think they should, based on the research, they have undeniably given the dietary pattern far more attention now than in the past. Prevention versus treatment. Also notable about the HOD resolution is its emphasis on prevention. That this may not seem very significant, but it does represent an important shift. Historically, the approach to breast cancer has been very heavily weighted toward treatment, not prevention. This is proven by the dominance of surgery, going all the way back to William Halstead, who introduced the radical mastectomy at the end of the 19th century. The rise of chemotherapy and radiation, and the emphasis on early detection, which, although it seeks to prevent disease progression, ultimately does nothing to prevent the cancer in the first place. Prevention and treatment need never be in competition, but that only makes the historical trends more disappointing. The good news is that we seem to be increasingly realizing the need for greater preventative care, a goal to which we have only given lip service for too long. You are listening to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. Next, we'll turn to nutritionfacts.org and an article titled Natural Dietary Remedy for Insomnia by Michael Greger, MD, September 26, 2025. There is a perception that time spent asleep is time wasted, but it is widely recognized that inadequate sleep is associated with multiple acute and chronic conditions and results in the increased risk of death and disease. Force people to go 1 week with only 6 hours of sleep a night, and you can change expression of more than 700 genes. The most dire effect may be endothelial dysfunction. The endothelium is the thin layer of skin of cells that covers the internal surface of blood vessels and is responsible for allowing our arteries to relax and dilate back open properly. Randomize people for about a week to get 5 rather than 7 hours of sleep, and just that 2 hour difference a night resulted in a significant impairment in artery function. Okay, but what do these numbers mean? How bad is a week of 5 hour nights? Sleep deprivation is no joke. The magnitude of impairment is similar to that reported in people who smoke, have diabetes, or have coronary artery disease. No wonder people who sleep less than 7 hours a night may experience 12 to 35% increased risk of premature death compared to those who get a full 7 hours. Yet a significant portion of the population may routinely get less than that. Sufficiently long, restful sleep sessions each night are said to be an indisputable cornerstone of good health. Okay, so what do we do about it? For those who have sleep apnea, a common consequence of obesity that interferes with sleep, benefit from the use of CPAP machines while they're losing the weight to treat the underlying cause, hopefully. But what if apnea isn't your problem? What if you just have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep? In my book, How Not to Diet, I have a whole section on sleep enhancement where I go through the four rules of sleep conditioning and the four rules of sleep hygiene. What if you follow these guidelines but still can't get to sleep? Are there any natural dietary remedies? I already have videos on using kiwi fruit to fight insomnia and tart cherries, too. Are there any vegetables that might help? Lactusa sativa is a plant that has traditionally been used to treat insomnia. What is this exotic-sounding leafy vegetable? Lettuce. Evidently, lettuce extracts have been used from the time of the Roman Empire as agents with sedative and sleep-inducing properties. Lettuce actually does have a hypnotic substance in it called lactucin, which is what makes lettuce taste a little bitter. But you don't know if it actually works until you put it to the test. And it works, but it also works in toads, but also works in rodents. Sleep in both mice and rats is enhanced by romaine lettuce. They used romaine since it has a higher lactucin content compared to other lettuces. Okay, but does it actually work in people? About 10 years ago, a study was published in which insomnia sufferers were randomized to receive lettuce seed oil, oil extracted from lettuce seeds. Within a week, about 70% of those in the lettuce seed oil group said their insomnia very much or much improved compared to just 20% in the placebo control group. The researchers conclude that lettuce seed oil was found to be useful as a safe sleeping aid in geriatric patients suffering from sleep difficulties. They choose the study to study older individuals because insomnia affects surprisingly approximately 20 to 40% of older adults at least a few nights a month. You think that's bad? Sleep disturbances can plague as many as nearly 8 out of 10 women during pregnancy. Of course, there are lots of different sleeping pills, but they might endanger the fetus or the mother. For example, doctors frequently prescribe Ambien for pregnant women who have trouble sleeping, but Ambien use is associated with a wide range of adverse pregnancy outcomes, like low birth weight babies, premature birth, and cesarean section. And the use of Valium during pregnancy has been linked to birth defects, including limb deficiencies. There has to be a better way. What about trying lettuce? The lettuce seed oil study has a number of limitations. For example, it was only single blind, meaning the researchers knew who was on the lettuce supplements and who was on the placebo, which could have introduced some bias. But the researchers essentially said, give us a break. Big Pharma has billions to spend on research. No one wants to fund studies on lettuce. Finally, we got a double-blind placebo-controlled study, but this time on a whole food, not just some lettuce seed extract. Yeah, but how do you come up with a placebo lettuce? Are you going to hide who gets lettuce and who doesn't? Well, you can't fit a head of lettuce into a capsule, but you can fit whole lettuce seeds. And here we go, a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled trial on lettuce seeds for pregnancy-related insomnia. 100 pregnant women with insomnia were randomized to receive capsules containing either a quarter teaspoon of ground lettuce seeds or a placebo for 2 weeks. And those on the lettuce seeds saw a significant improvement in sleep quality index scores compared to placebo, with no reported side effects. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you whole food, plant-based nutrition. And next from Forks Over Knives comes how to use beans as a meat substitute in any recipe, by Mary Margaret Chappell, September 29th, 2025. Choosing a plant-based diet doesn't mean giving up the meat-based dishes that you love. On the contrary, there are lots of plant foods that make very tasty substitutes for meat, including and especially beans. Here's how the hearty legumes can replace beef, chicken, pork, and even bacon in your favorite recipes. Substitute lentils for ground meat. With their tiny size and toothsome texture, green, brown, and black lentils are one of the easiest plant food swaps to make. The switch works for everything from sloppy joes to pasta sauce. Replace 1 pound of ground meat with 2 cups of cooked, drained lentils. Keep the cooking time to around 30 minutes and reduce it if necessary so the lentils stay whole and firm. Pre-cooked, boxed, or canned lentils also do the trick when time is short. Use chickpeas instead of chicken or turkey. The color and chewiness of chickpeas can mimic that of chicken and turkey meat. Coarsely mashed chickpeas can stand in for poultry in your favorite sandwich salads. Blended with breadcrumbs, they can be turned into mouth-watering burgers and kid-friendly nuggets. You can also just add them whole to recipes for soups and pot pies. Use equal amounts of cooked chickpeas by volume or weight for cooked or raw chicken or turkey. Mix and match beans for meaty textures. When a meat-based recipe, such as chili or soup, already calls for beans, try adding a different type to replace the meat. This gives the dish added color and flavor, plus a satisfying play on textures. Pair smaller bean varieties with larger ones and vice versa, and use equal amounts of cooked beans by volume or weight to replace the meat. Reduce cooking time to under an hour. Beans don't require as much simmering as meats do. And don't forget about the tasty beans you can find in the freezer aisle, such as edamame, lima beans, and favas. Turn to bean burgers for bigger cuts. Take away the bun and give bean burger patties different shapes to turn them into steaks, cutlets, and chunky pieces that can be added at the last minute to hearty stews. Most bean burgers, such as the basic veggie burger, can be cooked and frozen for make-ahead ease. Oven roast beans for bacon-like bits. Get crunchy, smoky, bacon-like fixes from crispy roasted beans. You can toss 1.5 cups of cooked beans, any type except lentils, with 1 tablespoon of chili powder, smoked paprika, or your favorite spice blend, and then roast them at 400 degrees on a parchment-lined baking sheet for 35 to 40 minutes until lightly browned. Cool completely, and then use anywhere you'd use bacon or bacon bits. Store roasted beans in an airtight container to keep them crisp for up to 3 days. And also from Forks Over Knives, a success story. After cutting out ultra-processed vegan foods, I'm pain-free and 80 pounds lighter. By Jolie Blanche Levine Pryor, September the 5th, 2025. Jolie Blanche Levine Pryor thought that following a vegan diet would help her reach a healthy weight, but it wasn't until she committed to a whole food, plant-based diet, cutting out highly processed foods and added oils, that she shed more than 80 pounds and eliminated chronic pain. My journey away from a standard American diet began in 2009, when my wife and I read a book that detailed the horrible treatment of animals in factory farms and decided to go pescatarian together. I continued to struggle with obesity as I had for decades. I weighed over 270 pounds at my heaviest, filling out 3XL tops and size 22/24 pants. In 2011, I underwent lap band and plication surgery with the hope of finally being able to manage my weight. Post-surgery, I read books and watched documentaries about veganism, as I had friends who had lost around 40 pounds after going vegan. I became convinced that going vegan would solve all my weight problems too, so my wife and I eliminated all remaining animal products from our diets. But I kept preparing meals in the standard American style, just swapping out the meat for a highly processed vegan meat alternative. I used olive oil with reckless abandon. I was disappointed not to lose weight. It never occurred to me that I traded one set of crappy foods for another. Struggling with side effects. I continued to struggle with my weight for years. The lap band was so tight, it also caused me extreme acid reflux, leading to vomiting. Finally, I saw another doctor who begrudgingly drained the fluid from my lap band, which eased most of its restrictive effect on my stomach. He prescribed me weight loss medication, and I got down to 194 pounds. There were side effects. My ears rang, I couldn't sleep, and I had severe constipation. But the pill was working, so I tolerated it. After a few months of bowel movements so painful that I cried, I discontinued the medication. I regained the weight that I'd lost, and I felt incredibly defeated. In April 2021, my wife and I started working with a health coach. He taught us how bad ultra-processed foods were for us. I cleaned out our pantry and freezer and gave away all of our junk foods and oils and restocked the kitchen with whole foods. After a few months, I noticed that chronic knee pain that I'd had for years started to dissipate, which was surprising, as an orthopedic surgeon had told me that the damage was done and I'd need knee replacements. Heeding the wake-up call, I slowly let the oils and processed foods back into our lives due to convenience. Then my wife saw her cardiologist for a calcium scoring test. Since we had been vegan for many years, I assumed her score would be excellent, but it turned out to be 694, meaning she was at very high risk of a heart attack. That's when I said, I'm all in. I immediately got rid of all of our cooking oils, ultra-processed foods, and any seasonings that contain salt. In March of 2023, we did Chef AJ's 21-day challenge to go whole food plant-based and never looked back. Since then, I've lost 83 pounds. Today, I weigh 124 pounds, the same as I did in high school. I had my lap band removed. I've still got my original knees, and they're pain-free. This lifestyle allows me to eat more food than I ever have while effortlessly maintaining a healthy weight. I absolutely adore roasted sweet potatoes, oats, brown rice, and all sorts of beans. You've been listening to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a happy and healthy rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.